Thanks. Well, I hadn't played that one in a while, so I was kind of, and I've never played the Stobro before either, so I'm used to it now, though. We know each other quite well here. Well, this is Russ Barenberg, and this is Edgar Meyer, and they're going to help me on this. So, before we get too far out here, does anybody have a pertinent question this time? I have two finger picks and one thumb pick. Well, I play sometimes with my ring finger on my right hand. I use it for texture reasons. Just for if I don't want a metallic ping on the front of the note, I'll use my ring finger. I wrote parts of it. The hardest part of it is the Big Mun part of it. It's a Bill Monroe song. It's the fastest part.
Bluegrass is harder than anything else, let's face it.
Yeah. I took the screens out of the R.Q. Jones guitar that I play a lot for studio reasons. Well, originally the reason I took them out was because I had this pickup that was too high if I left the screens in. So I took the screens out so the pickup would lay flat on the guitar. And then I noticed that if I wanted to get a lot more bass out of the guitar, you know, always you move the guitar, the microphone toward these screens because that's actually the bass port section of the guitar. And that guitar, that particular guitar just mellowed out a little bit more with those screens out. I just got a better mix when I listen to it. When I listen to the guitar, when I play it, I like the tone of it better with the screens out because I think they muffle the low end a little bit.
You wouldn't expect the average parking lot picker to notice the difference.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you might. You might. But I don't know. I wouldn't, you know, it's easier for rain to get down in there if you're out in the parking lot playing it. Yeah.
Yeah, you said you just got that Dobro. Could you give us a little history of that Dobro and of the instrument, the Dobro, compared to, say, an electric guitar?
Well, the Dobro guitar originally was built by some brothers who emigrated to California from Czechoslovakia. And they liked Hawaiian guitars, but they weren't loud enough for them. So they built their design, their real... The thing that they really brought to the guitar was the invention of this metal section back here that acts like a speaker cone inside the guitar and projects sound back out like a speaker cabinet does. Same principle. And they put this cover plate on the top, and the rest of it is pretty much basically a guitar. This particular guitar was made by a guy named Tim Shearhorn, who's here today, and he's made a lot of these guitars now. It's becoming a real popular kind of guitar here, and he does a great job on them. And it's maple. It's made out of maple, neck, body, everything. It has a special baffle design inside it that's different than the original Dobro design. Was just a round barrel kind of area inside. It had a barrel that went from the top of the guitar to the bottom of the guitar like a sound well, and had round holes cut through it. And Tim improved on that design a lot. And I don't want to give away any of his secrets, so I won't elaborate any further on that. But they're great guitars, and I would endorse them. Say, tell anyone to buy one. This guy back here. Yeah, I have. Yeah, they're great guitars, too. They're good guitars. Yeah, they're good guitars. I prefer these, but I've heard a lot of really good Paul Beard guitars. And the thing about Tim's guitars, not just anyone can build a great Dobro, but Tim's guitars are all consistent, consistently great, I think. And that's that means a lot. When you want to endorse something and tell someone they should go out and buy it, you don't want them to buy one that's a dog, you know. And every one of these I've played has been great. I think there's somewhere under 2,000. I'm not sure. It's right around there. Yeah.
I noticed earlier this afternoon it looked like your mic'ing system, you weren't using mics in the instruments, you were going direct to the system.
I was. It's good. It's a new sound. You know, it's different than when you plug something in. It's not going to sound acoustic. I don't care what you do to it. I don't care if you have a microphone in it. It's not going to sound like it does if the microphone's out here in the front like this. It doesn't sound like that. So you just have to get used to what you have and try to get the best sound that you can possibly get with the equipment you have to use. And I find it advantageous just for the reason that I can move on stage and I'm not tied to a mic. You know, I'm not tied to a mic on a stand. I can move around. I can go between these guys and we can run around each other. You know, we can jump all over the stage if we wanted to. But and when you hit the other guy with your guitar, you can actually hear it. Back here. I play wooden-bodied dobros, yes, all the time. I've played metal bodies, but it's a different sound, and for what I do and what I need out of the instrument, the wooden bodies serve me the best. Sometimes I play a Weisenborn. It's a Hawaiian guitar. I didn't bring one of those with me. Oh, yeah. I guess so, just from listening to him. And Edgar and I played on a Leo Kaki record a while back. It was a record called My Father's Face. Was that the name of it? It's the one that's got, he talks about his kid has a face like a walnut. I remember that line out of a song. Well, everyone reaches plateaus, and the only way to get off of that plateau is just to resign yourself to the fact that you are on a plateau and that you will someday be off of it, and just play yourself out of it, and that's the only way I know of, and because I reach them, you know, I get. And in all kinds of ways, not just in playing, but just in career, just, you know, or everybody, you can apply that to anything.
Just to follow it up, I try to play with people who are better than I am, but
yeah.
You probably find that difficult to play with.
No, I don't care how good you get, you're always going to, you know, I walk into sessions sometimes and I worry about if I'm going to make a fool out of myself playing through this thing, and it usually ends up okay, you know, but there's always that thought back there, you know, that, you know, maybe this is the day that you've met your match. Well, a lot of the things that we play that are, that Edgar has written, and a lot of things we write between the three of us are classically influenced, I think. So that's really as close as I've gotten. I don't sit down with a page of Bach, you know, and play that. Edgar does. It's tuned in open G from the first string up. It's D, B, G, D, B, G, an octave lower. Hillbilly music, hillbilly tuning. I use different tunings sometimes. I usually stay in a G tuning, except when we were talking about this Weisenborn guitar I use a lot. It's tuned. I've tuned it all kinds of ways, but usually in a major key. You know, usually straight across, like a C tuning up to an E tuning. It depends on the gauge of strings. You know, you have to be careful with those Weisenborn guitars too, because they're so fragile. But there are tuning, just lowering my B string down to an A. What I'm doing is actually I'm pulling the second string behind the bar with my ring finger. I'm trying not to make a face when I do it. Sometimes it feels like a cheese grater, you know. And you can also lower your low G string down to an E. And unless you have Scruggs tuners, you know, it's kind of hard to get it right back. We should play something, I think. We should really. You want to play?
I don't know. Play something that has.
Let's play the C tune. This is a tune we have on our record that we've been trying to learn it. We haven't really played it in front of anybody yet, so you all don't count, okay? We'll play this tune. It's called the C tune, but we don't.
Maybe in another lifetime.
Edgar calls this maybe in another lifetime. Maybe that's the name of it. Maybe not.
We say maybe we'll get another title. No, that could be it. That could be it.
We throw these titles around, you know, like we write these tunes and we write them. And for the longest time, everybody I know, like Bela and Sam, all these people we play with, we always write these tunes and we don't have names for them until the day before we have to send in the label copy for the record to come out, you know. So for right now, this is called the C tune, or AKA maybe in another lifetime.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. You got guitar in the monitor? It's kind of dark.
We'll be able to hear you.
It'll be okay.
Okay.